Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS version. We are discussing week 20, I guess we call it, the NFC and AFC Championship games. I am Scott Jenstead, joined by Andrew Laird, as usual. Andrew, I know you're a little under the weather, but how are you otherwise?
Oh, I'm very under the weather. I'm like miles under the weather. I'm good. How does it feel to have like a team one game away from the Super Bowl? It's been a long time since I've felt this.
A crazy combination of excited and beyond nerve-wracking.
Yeah. I remember when the Jets had the back-to-back championship game years, and like the first one, they had no right to be in that game. And the second one, it was like, they might actually win this game. They didn't. But it was like, at least, you know, there was some, that was the last time there was ever optimism about the New York Jets. But I don't know, like the 49ers are like the presumptive favorite at this point.
Yeah, and it's fun, really fun this year because it was unexpected. Like, I think that there's a difference between, like, you know, if you're a Patriots fan or when the Warriors are really good, you know, those like third and fourth and fifth years, like it was really fun. But like there's a little bit extra added when it's unexpected. You're not expected to be the best team or not expected to be the championship game. And you are here. That first year of like building and being really good is easily the most fun year as a fan.
And it's not like it was a unexpected all season, like one of the, like the Giants runs that everyone all of a sudden they're getting hot in the playoffs. Like they've been good. I mean, they were the top seed in the NFC. So obviously they were great all season.
And no one liked their defense more than you preseason.
That's right. I got one thing right on this podcast this year. Happened to come early, but and it was defense, which, you know.
Hey, I don't know. It wins championships.
That's right. So there you go.
So let's break down the overall slate. We'll start with the AFC game, which starts first. We have Tennessee unexpectedly at this point after beating the Patriots and the Ravens, a pretty impressive back-to-back road win combo there. They head to Arrowhead to face the Chiefs. Chiefs are favored by 7.5. This is easily the higher over-under of the two games on the slate. Over-under this game right now is 52. These teams did play Week 10, a really good game in Kansas City, and Tennessee actually came back and won. They won 35-32 in that game. I think it's fair to say that both sides of the Chiefs, both offense and defense are playing better than they were at that time, but obviously so is Tennessee, 9-3 under Ryan Tannehill. I guess first, how do you feel about this game, how it goes and how we build into a game script for fantasy DFS purposes?
The first thing that kind of jumps out is that the most expensive quarterback, the most expensive running back are in this game, and yep. The second most expensive wide receiver, I believe, at least on DraftKings.
And the most expensive tight end.
And the most expensive tight end, right. So it's one of those like, oh, just game stack this one. And it's like, it's not that easy. Like, you're going to have to pick your poison here because, you know, we're used to much bigger slates. Obviously, even four games feels humongous next to this. So you're going to have to look at some guys. You're going to really have to convince yourself on a few guys this week. But it just seems more prudent to try to take long shot guys from the game that has the higher total, then, you know, if you're going to take a third or fourth wide receiver, why not at least get the one from a team that can score 30 points as opposed to this Green Bay San Francisco game, which I just kind of expect it to be ugly, but maybe that's just because I assume, you know, how I feel about the Packers and how I feel about the San Francisco defense. So I just, you know, like you said, this game has the higher total. So this is where you should be getting your stars and your scrubs pretty much.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a full touchdown difference in the total. Yeah. So it's not like it's 52 and 49. It's 52 and 45 right now. It's a pretty significant difference. Tennessee's wild right now. I mean, Derrick Henry's obviously running crazy. They have 77 run plays in the playoffs and 33 pass plays. They have not topped 100 yards passing in either playoff game, which is just beyond absurd. I think I saw a stat. The last time it happened was Cincinnati in 1988 in the playoffs. But, you know, since Ryan Tannehill took over, you actually sent me this stat. It was from Twitter. I forget who posted it. You may know. But since Tannehill took over, red zone opportunities by the Titans since week 7, they've had 32 chances in the red zone. They have 31 touchdowns and one field goal, which is absolutely impossible.
It's insane. Like, it's when I saw that, I was just like, how is this possibly sustainable?
And their ratio like jumps off the page so far from the rest of the whole entire league. Like, right. It's not just, it sounds crazy. I mean, look at the stat and how different it is than all other 31 teams. It's a bonker stat.
Yeah. It's just, it looks like it's a typo. Like, you think it's either going to be 33, even at 33 and 11 would have been crazy.
Yeah. And they'd lead the league easily still. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, Kansas City defense improved, but I mean, it's not great. Like, I mean, you obviously can't expect that ratio to keep going, but man, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and we talking about the Chiefs. I mean, that game last week was just crazy, like 24-0 in the second quarter. And everybody's like, you know, they still can catch up by the end of the game. They got a lot of firepower. They were leading and caught up by halftime. I'd never seen anything like that because it had never happened before. That was the biggest comeback like in a first half in the history of the league. A team had never been trailing by 24 and took the lead by halftime. It was just a bonkers, weird game. You know, I mean, Bill O'Brien coached, they had such a lot of good stuff going on in the first quarter, and then just kind of like, it just didn't do anything good after that. The fake punt can be disputed, but you know, if you're going to be aggressive, I'm fine with that, but you got to go for it on 4th and 1 from the 10-yard line also if you're going to be aggressive. You can't choose when to be aggressive and do it kind of one or the other. If you're going to be aggressive, you got to just do it.
Yeah, it felt like makeup aggression, which like,
it really did.
Obviously is not what you want in those situations. Yeah, I mean, if there was a team though that you were like, if I told you somebody was down, not even like in the playoffs, but like if I was like, oh, somebody went down 24-0 and they were up 28-24 at the half, who do you think it was? Like, obviously the Chiefs are probably the first choice.
For sure there. So interesting game. I mean, I think it, you know, Kansas City's favored by 7.5. So I think that role that they went on against the Texans, you know, 41 straight points and 51-7, you know, blitzing them off the field has got everybody fired up by the Chiefs. But I mean, Tennessee's gone into Baltimore, into New England and won games. I think the interesting part when we'll talk about the running backs and receivers is whether you think that, you know, Tennessee can stay in the game, because I think we were worried last week that they were going to get down to Baltimore and Derrick Henry wasn't going to be able to run enough and they're going to game script it out. But we thought that maybe against New England too, but they've taken early leads. They're at 14-0 quick against Baltimore. I think the first like quarter of this game determines so much of what happens the rest of the way for fantasy purposes. It's tough to handicap. You pretty much have to take a stance where you think Kansas City jumps out earlier, Tennessee hangs in there.
Well, the toughest part with Kansas City, other than Henry though, you're just like, who are these guys scoring touchdowns? I mean, the Jonnu Smith touchdown, which like watching live, it's like, there's no way that's a touchdown. And then the replay and you're like, oh my gosh, that's a touchdown. I just feel like every time they score, you're just like, who is this guy? And it's a whole team other than Henry of who is this guy? And that makes it particularly tough for fantasy. It's not like we just don't have anyone to go to. So you're like, oh, well, if I think Tennessee can stay in this game, which guys do I want? And it's like it's a bunch of guys. And like, what do you do with that?
Derrick Henry's last 3 weeks, 211 yards, 182 yards, 195 yards. That's not total yards. That's rushing. That is a crazy stretch of rushing yards. The stats you look at, he's like 7th highest in one postseason for rush yards ever. And he's, you know, still has one or potentially two games left. It's a historic run that he's on right now. It's beyond impressive.
Do you play him this week?
I'm not playing him this week, which is, I was kind of setting that up to, I don't think I'm going to play him. I think that, I think Casey jumps out early. I think he gets game scripted out, you know, as much as he can. They're still obviously going to run the ball and go to him. But I think second half, they're going to have to throw the ball. And I actually think that I think the Tannehill, A.J. Brown stuff is a little more interesting for me this week based on how I think the game goes personally.
Yeah, I mean, 32, 34, and 30 carries over the last 3 weeks.
Crazy.
And it's like and just like you said, if you think Kansas City gets up early, then it's really tough for him to reach that level.
They've thrown the ball 33 total times.
That's crazy.
I mean, in today's NFL, that just doesn't happen. That's not a real stat. I mean, we had the Niners game last week against Minnesota where they ran the ball like 100 times in their own in the second half. But I mean, it was just kind of it was what was working. But to see it in back-to-back games is just, it's pretty wild.
I think like if you just look at the quarterbacks that are on the slate, if I told you like which one has thrown only 29 passes, like it's Tannehill, right?
No doubt there. So it's interesting. It'll be a fun game. I think that Kansas City rolls pretty good. I think they cover this game, and I've downplayed Tennessee probably the first 2 weeks of the pro season. They made me look bad, but
everyone has though.
Yeah, I think everybody's had to. But I mean, some people liked them against New England. Nobody liked them against Baltimore last week. I think Kansas City's playing really well right now. They're my pick to go to the Super Bowl when the playoffs started, and I'm sticking with that.
Okay, fair enough.
So Green Bay comes to San Francisco for another matchup of Green Bay and San Francisco in the playoffs. A long history of that over the last 20 years. Some of it has gone well. A bunch of it has not. A lot of Brett Favre, Antonio Freeman passes in my nightmares over the last 20 years. But Niners are favored by 7.5 here. I think some of that is driven by the fact that they played in Week 12, and it was kind of that stretch. The Niners had a bunch of really tough games. Yeah. And the Niners just absolutely blitzed them. It was 37-8 and kind of looked every bit of 37-8. It was not a fluky, like, scoring on special teams, that kind of thing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had his second lowest YPA of his whole career. They just they averaged under 3 yards per play in that game. I mean, that's just a crazy stat for a team with, you know, some, you know, obviously not the firepower they used to have, but they still have Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Jones. Packers have the lowest implied total of the weekend at 18.75, you know, built off that game. Plus how good the Niners defense and now healthy looked last week against Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota had 7 first downs, 147 total yards. The Niners had 6 sacks. I mean, 7 first downs in a game to a team that has a lot of playmakers like the Vikings. It was a pretty dominant effort last week.
Yeah, I was just going through, like, not that you have to have a Packer on the list, but I just couldn't find myself, like, looking at any of their skill players and being like, yeah, that's what I want. Part of that is that I just don't love playing guys against San Francisco, but it just seems like at every level you have somebody else that you can play, and I just feel like the other guy is better.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae Adams is just a target, just monster right now. He had a huge week last week, but it's hard to, if you're going to play one receiver in that range, it's hard to, like, go from him over Tyreek Hill, and you're like, just based on how you think the games are going to go. I assume that the Packers will move Adams around and not line him up in Richard Sherman at all. Minnesota did that early with Stephon Diggs, and it worked really well last week, and they kind of went away from it. I don't know really why they did, but Akella Witherspoon got benched. They brought Emmanuel Mosley in. He was a little bit better, but I still think they should have gone towards Diggs, and I don't think Rodgers will go away from Adams no matter what. So I still think he'll be a target monster, but I prefer Tyreek Hill this week.
Yeah, I just don't see the reason to spend $7,900 on DraftKings on Adams when I think there's a quarterback worth paying up for. There are other running backs I'd rather use the money for. Tight ends, like, it just, I don't know. It just seems like why am I taking the number one wide out on the team with the lowest implied total?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is probably you just think he's going to get a ton of passes if they're trying to catch up. But I have other preferences in the range and at the price also.
Yeah, for sure.
So running backs, we talked about Henry a little bit. We talked about how massive he's been in the last 3 games. He was huge against Kansas City last time they played in Week 10. He was 23 carries for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think Chris Jones' availability for the Kansas City defensive line is really big. He's a big run stopper and really important. Defense, he did not play last week. Questionable right now. I would imagine he's leaning towards playing, but they actually worked him out pregame, and it was kind of a surprise he didn't play with that injury. Kansas City defense has been pretty good lately. No running back over 60 yards over the last 5 weeks. They shut down Carlos Hyde nicely last week, 13 carries for 44 yards.
Shut down Carlos Hyde.
Hey, Carlos Hyde been good. I don't think he's good, but he had been pretty decent lately. But shutting him down is not impressive. I agree. I think the biggest thing with Henry comes down to how you think this game goes. I think you need to handicap how you think the game goes before you decide whether to play him. If you think Tennessee stays in it, you think Tennessee has a lead, I think he's pretty much a must play with the volume. But with the way I think the game goes, I think Kansas City gets out early. I think they ride that momentum from last week. I am not playing him at the price. $8,700 on DraftKings, $9,800 on FanDuel.
If you don't play Henry, are you playing anybody from Tennessee?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they have an underpriced wide receiver that's been hidden the last 2 weeks in tough matchups and then not throwing the ball at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
We'll get to wide receivers, but other running backs, if you don't play Henry and you think the game goes like I do, I think Damian Williams pretty much lines up as a must play at 7,000 on DraftKings. And he's the only guy right now. I mean, everybody's talking about LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy had one snap last week.
Yep.
One. Darwin Thompson had one snap. They had 64 snaps on offense. Damian Williams had 62 of those. When he's healthy, he is 100% the guy. Andy Reid likes to have a guy. It's clearly that's him right now. He had 6 targets last week, had 3 touchdowns. Didn't really do a lot on the ground. I think he was 12 for 47. But 6 targets and enough volume in this offense. He's involved in both the passing game and run game. The nice thing with Williams is he's really not game script dependent. If they get behind, they're going to pass it to him. If they get ahead, they're going to hand it to him. That's the kind of guy you want in a game like this. With only 4 teams on the slate, you give me someone who's not game script dependent, who's really talented on a good offense. It's hard to get away from Damian Williams from me this week.
Yeah, I totally agree. You could kind of blame the low number of carries on the fact that they were down 24-0, but then they were also up the entire second half. So I don't know how far that goes out, but I mean, 13 targets in the last 2 games, but only 6 catches. Like, he only had 2 catches last week, and one happened to go for a touchdown. It was a really nice touchdown.
It was.
But yeah, he seems like an easy play, which simply is like the running back on the biggest favorite on the entire slate.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. If you're looking for a credit card that fits your lifestyle, look no further. U.S. Bank has credit cards that make every day rewarding, no matter what you're into. Feeling hungry? Check out the U.S. Bank Altitude Go Visa Signature Card. Earn 4 times points on takeout, food delivery, and dining. And get 2 times points at gas stations, grocery stores, and on streaming. That'll keep your wallet and your mouth full. Big spender? The U.S. Bank Visa Platinum Card has a low intro APR for large purchases or balance transfers. And you call the shots with the U.S. Bank Cash Plus Visa Signature Card. Choose 2 categories each quarter. Earn 5% back on your first $2,000 of eligible purchases from those categories. So don't just get a credit card, get the right card to make every day more rewarding. Cash back, merchandise, travel rewards, and low intro APRs are waiting. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. The creditor and issuer of these cards is U.S. Bank National Association, pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc., and the cards are available to United States residents only. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Yeah, so in the other game, I'll let you go first. How do you feel about Aaron Jones and then the San Francisco running back situation, which got quite muddy last week? I mean, he Mostert had the calf soreness and a little bit of cramping. Tevin Coleman took over and kind of out of nowhere, no ownership really, had a huge game, his best game since that Panthers game. He had 3 touchdowns. How are you attacking the NFC game from the running back position?
As somebody who had Mostert last week, watching Coleman do what he did was just like so infuriating. Especially like he was that a career high in carries or just a season high?
It was a career high in carries.
That's what I thought. Right. So
yeah. It's crazy.
That obviously has like greatly elevated his price this week. But I kind of like, if I don't want to play Jones and I don't want to buy into this San Francisco backfield with one of them, I'm playing Damian Williams and then I have to play somebody else.
You are forced to play someone else, yes.
So I think that's why, like, Derrick Henry is going to be, like, I don't want to call him, like, overly popular, but, like, filling running back spots this week is not easy.
I'm going back to Mostert, 4,300.
Wow.
He is priced way down. I mean, he was still good last week. He was 12 carries of 58 yards. I mean, that's, five yards a pop. He's a full practice, a full go on Wednesday. I just think he's so much more explosive. I think they're going to need him this week. I think that last week, if they'd have been a closer game, they would have brought him back for a little more in the second half. I just think the way they were ahead, Coleman looked really good. Minnesota was a team that doesn't really stop the zone read very well. They were like last in the NFL stopping the run with when teams line up with 2 tight ends. We talked about that last week when we were talking about Mostert. But I think Coleman just kind of worked well there. Shanahan obviously likes him. But I think in a closer game, I think this will be a closer game than last week, I still think Mostert's the most explosive guy. And I just think at 4,300 on DraftKings, I think the price is way too low. I think that he's going to earn that pretty easily.
If they were both 4,300, do you still play him?
I do, but it'd be a really tough call, and I could see the argument both ways. But with a $1,400 difference on DraftKings, $700 on FanDuel, I'm going to go with the cheaper guy. I'm going to use the money elsewhere because I think I have them pretty even this week. Probably a lean to Mostert. Yeah, I would say definitely lean to Mostert. But with the price difference, it's an easy play for me.
Right. So what do you think the most popular running back combination is then?
That's a good question. I think it's the most popular combination will probably be Williams-Aaron Jones.
Hmm.
But you know,
I'm all in on people playing Aaron Jones, but
I think that Henry Williams is just really tough at the price. Although you can go, receivers are priced way down this week. I think it's a pretty soft pricing week, but you just can't, if you're okay not playing Adams or Hill, you can go Henry and Williams if you want to.
Yeah. Do you know why the wide receiver pricing is so low this week? Because they're all horrible.
Because Tennessee and the 49ers passed the ball like 12 times
right,
last week.
Right. And the Packers have one guy and he's the most expensive one. And Kansas City has one guy and another, a bunch of guys who could do stuff. Like, it's awful. Like, I think the Williams Jones combinations probably play Mahomes too, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah. I was trying to think if you play Mahomes, what the most popular one would be. And I think a lot of people play Mahomes.
Right.
I think Williams Jones is probably I don't know how you lay that out is the most popular twosome, but I would guess that's the most popular backfield.
Okay.
It saves you some money off Henry, and it's two guys who are, you know, who are really good. And Jones had, what, has 21 touchdowns this year. Are you a full no-go on Aaron Jones against this Niners D?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was 21 for 62 last week, but he did have the two touchdowns. He didn't really run effectively, but had the ball in the red zone. I mean, the key for Jones is he will get the ball near the goal line, and he's clearly the guy. He had like 22 touches, and Jamal Williams had four, so that doesn't worry him at all. But I mean, the Niners just destroyed Dalvin Cook last week. He had 26 total yards on 15 touches. The impressive thing was that, you know, you think for how much they were rushing the quarterback, they would have been beat on some screen passes. They killed the Vikings every time they tried to run a screen. Quan Alexander, Fred Warner were all over every screen play. So they shut that down pretty well too.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no interest in playing him last week, and thankfully that I survived that one.
Yeah, I'm probably a Damian Williams, Raheem Mostert, and paying up elsewhere guy this week, I think.
I think that's reasonable. Playing three is, like, really tough.
Yeah, it's one of those weeks where I don't even know that. I think I'd rather just play a cheaper wide receiver and pay up a tight end and quarterback and hope you hit on the right Niners receiver or the right cheap guy in Kansas City.
Yeah, I wonder if it's worth, I'm going to try this now, a Williams-Henry-Jones lineup. Like, who's dumb enough to play that?
that's a lot of cap. I mean, I guess you've got to go. You got to go probably Garoppolo or Tannehill to do it.
Yeah, and three really cheap wideouts.
Yeah, you go Garoppolo and Tannehill, and you go like AJ Brown, Debo Samuel, Sammy Watkins. You could definitely get it done.
I don't know if you can go that low.
No,
I mean that high. Excuse me.
Oh yeah, then you probably got to go Jonnu Smith or Jimmy Graham. Also,
there you go. Yep.
And probably the Packers defense and probably gets it in. I don't love what you get the rest of the way.
Exactly. Yeah. The upside seems so limited.
Yeah. So let's jump into the passing games real quick in these two games. But first, a note from DraftKings. Get a free 6-month subscription to RotoWire free via DraftKings. Follow these three easy steps to receive your free subscription today. I can talk. Go to DraftKings.com/RotoWire-2019 and create a new DraftKings account. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Get a 6-month RotoWire membership free. That's a $60 value. You'll also receive a free $3 ticket for a 1-day fantasy sports contest deposited into your account, which expires after 1 year. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Only new DraftKings users are eligible. See DraftKings.com/RotoWire-2019 for all details. So we talked about quarterback a little bit as we were kind of building some lineups there. Mahomes is easily the most expensive. He's $7,700 on DraftKings. Aaron Rodgers is second all the way down to 6,100. So, I mean, I think that you got to figure out your lineup. If you're going to pay up at quarterback with Mahomes or down with the other three guys, they're all kind of in the same range. You know, Rodgers to Garoppolo's 900, but I'm definitely he's closer to those two are closer than Rodgers to Mahomes. Are you full go on Mahomes this week? I mean, he's obviously the most explosive of the four quarterbacks.
I mean, if you're not going to play Derrick Henry, you're doing it to get Mahomes.
Absolutely.
Like, so there's that. I think there'll probably be people who try to play both of those guys too. But I was actually wondering who you thought was the second most owned. Like, I think Mahomes is going to be the most owned quarterback.
Second most owned or second one I like the second most?
Second most owned.
I think Rodgers will be the second most owned.
Over Tannehill?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I prefer Tannehill, though.
People are nuts, yeah. I think Tannehill is so much, like, makes so much more sense than Rodgers and Garoppolo.
I do too. So Hannah's like easily my second favorite. I think that the way that I think the game script goes, I just think they're going to have to throw the ball the whole second half. And I mean, he's been good when they've had to throw it. So I think that they can score. I think that the Kansas City defense, like you said, been better, but not something that I'm, you know, fully avoiding or scared of. I just, I don't want to go against the Niners defense right now. I think when they're healthy, they are the best defense in football. I think this game's going to be close just because I think both defenses will play pretty well. But I just don't think I want to go with Rodgers. You know, based on how he looked last time against the Niners, he's awesome. He had some unbelievable plays against Seattle, but they're just not built like an offense right now that that really is explosive that way.
Yeah, I have no interest. None.
Tannehill's interesting, though. I mean, he's always been 100 yards, both playoff games. We mentioned that earlier. But, I mean, I just think this has to be a different game script. If they get ahead again, you know, I'll just take the loss on that one. But I just don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to have to score to stay in this game. And I think they're going to have to score from behind. KC allowed 388 yards to Deshaun Watson last week, but that was on 52 passes. So a lot of passes. It wasn't super efficient, but did get his. That was the first quarterback over 300 yards on Kansas City since week 11. But I just think the way this game goes, if I have to play down here, I think I'm going Tannehill 5,500 on DraftKings.
Yeah, the only weird thing about paying down for Tannehill is that, are you doing it to get Henry? And why are you playing both of those guys?
If I'm doing it, I'm doing it to get Adams and Hill.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
And Kelsey, probably.
Right.
If I'm doing, I'm not playing Henry with him because I just don't. I think that's a bit too much, and hoping that Tennessee really scores a ton of points.
Right.
I'm doing it to play up everywhere else.
Okay. And Jimmy G, lowest owned, huh?
I think so. I think just based on the fact that they threw 19 passes last week. But the thing with Garoppolo is, you know, if they get in any kind of situation where Green Bay scores some, he's fine doing that. I mean, he bounces back really well. Like, all his big games have been after bad games. He's got good weapons. Green Bay's defense is just good. They rush the passer well. I just don't think this is going to be like the explosive game. I just think the AFC game has more appeal to me for both quarterbacks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So wide receiver wise, we have Adams and Tyreek Hill, who are like clearly the two best, and it's not even really that close. Adams is 7,900 on DraftKings. Hill is 7,200. Adams was huge last week, 8 for 160 and 2 touchdowns on 11 targets against Seattle. His targets the last 4 weeks are pretty insane: 13, 16, 13, 11. I got to think they game plan to get him against Emmanuel Mosley and Kaywan Williams. Keller Witherspoon is in there. Hopefully not. And they'll avoid it. I assume that they'll throw Geronimo Allison and Alan Lazard at Richard Sherman and kind of just let that go. Adams was not good the first game, but nobody was good in Packers against his first game against the Niners. I think we can throw some of that out. I mean, obviously the Niners defense is still good, but that game got weird and got away from them. They got away from them pretty quick and just kind of they kind of packed it up pretty good. He was 7 for 43, did have a touchdown on 12 targets in that game. Wasn't explosive, but was very much involved.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the difference of the two of them, they both have like pretty great upside, but target wise, like Adams is so much better than Hill, even.
Yeah.
With the fact that Kansas City has the highest implied total, like,
I mean, Hill had 4 targets last week, where they threw like the entire like last like middle 2.5 quarters.
Right. To the score 6.5 fantasy points on DraftKings, which includes a lost fumble, which is kind of dumb. But like, they scored 51 points. Like, that's terrible. Obviously, Kelsey had the outlier game, but it just seems like he's the one that you want if you really want access to the Chiefs passing game.
Yeah, I do like Tyreek a lot this week. I just think this is a week where he gets loose. He was really good against Tennessee last week. Their last time they played, 19 targets, 11 for 157. Marquise Brown was 7 for 126 last week against Tennessee. Kind of a similar type guy, kind of a speed wide receiver. I just think that with Kelsey 3 touchdowns, I think that I just lean towards it being, you know, maybe they go back to Tyreek this week. I think the upside's huge with him. I think it's a big game. I think he hits a big one at some point. He had a big pass interference that he drew last week that could have been a big play. I like Tyreek more than Devontae this week, and I'm probably playing one of them in every lineup, and I think it's going to be Tyreek on most.
There you go. Okay.
So what do we do with all these other guys? I've got like 7 guys bolded here that are interesting, but you can find scars with all of them. Start with the 49ers guys. Debo Samuel's 5,500 on DraftKings. Emmanuel Sanders is 4,900. Kendrick Bourne is 4,200. They're all very playable at the price. Debo had 6 targets last week. Also had the rushing attempt that looked like it was going to be a big play. Garoppolo had a pretty good block on it, but then he fumbled and got called back. But played 56 snaps. Tyler Lockett was really good last week against Green Bay, 9 for 136 in the touchdown. Debo is averaging nearly 6 targets per game over the last 4 weeks, where Sanders is only averaging 4 targets a game since that big game he had against the Rams. What do you do with these pass catchers? I mean, we only have 2 games. You have to play someone. Where do you kind of go here?
I wasn't actually going to do this, but when I put together a Henry lineup, I had all 3.
I like
it. It was really just like price. I'm like, oh, San Francisco wideout. Yeah, let me play that. And I'm like, oh my God, I have all 3 of them. I think you,
they,
I mean,
they
I
score
think,
like 73 points. You're set.
Yeah. Obviously, the issue we have is that any of them can do anything at any point. Like, it seems like Samuel ends up with more touches because they give him some rushing plays.
Yep.
So that's why he's a little more expensive than Sanders. But I think it's one of those situations where, like, if you don't have the 600 to on DraftKings to get up to Samuel, like, I think Sanders is fine. Bourne seems like the real wild card to me. Like, is he reliable enough to actually play?
It really depends on a game script. I think he'll need a good game script, but they use him in the red zone. He has 5 end zone targets since week 10, which leads all the receivers. He had 5 targets last week. It's not like he had, you know, the one touchdown and then they never went back to him. He had 5 targets. He had more targets than Sanders did. Sanders only had 2. I still would go Sanders if I could find the money. But, yeah, I mean, in a 2-game slate, I think that Bourne at 4,200 is certainly a consideration.
Yeah. Okay.
I think one of Debo or Manny really goes off this week, and I don't know if there's really a way to know which one it is or a way to, like, break it down at all. I think it's just kind of how the game goes and who hits the big play. But I think they're going to have to hit a couple big plays. Green Bay is going to score a little bit more than Minnesota did. I kind of like both guys, but, you know, I don't think both can go off the way this game goes. But I'd probably lean towards Debo a little bit based on kind of what you said with the rushing stuff, kind of getting a little more involved there. But Manuel Sanders is really good in a game like this where Garoppolo may need kind of a security blanket, short guy with the Packers pass rush. I think that Sanders is very much in play too.
Are we allowed to call it a Godwin Evans situation?
I don't think we are because Jameis is long gone.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, not quite as good as those two guys, but I think it's similar in the fact that you're probably not going to get both of them going off at once.
Right, right.
I love AJ Brown this week.
That sounded like you did.
5,200 on DraftKings. He is way priced down for where he has been. Super cheap. I mean, they had back-to-back weeks against really tough defenses. I mean, against Baltimore, he went against Stephon Gilmore and the Patriots, and they just didn't throw the ball at all. The Titans have 1 catch over 10 yards in the playoffs to a wide receiver, which is an impossible stat, and that was the Khalif Raymond touchdown that opened up that game against Baltimore. Yeah. It was great, but you're like, oh, well, they're not going to throw the ball the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. So
that's another one. Who is this guy?
I was like, oh, I better Google his name real quick. Brown was only on 1 catch against Kansas City last time, but they hadn't really broken out by that point. I think they use him differently now. But the thing I look at, I mean, Kenny Stills, DeAndre Hopkins, and Will Fuller all had over 80 yards last week. They had 287 receiving yards in that game. I just think that Tennessee gets down in this game. I think they're going to have to throw. I think A.J. Brown's explosive, going to make a couple plays. I just think he's underpriced on DraftKings based on the last 2 games. I think this game just is very, very different than those 2.
Yeah, I think he's underpriced. Like, it's as simple as that.
And super talented. I mean, this is not a guy that we're like, oh, you know, it might work with a game script and stuff. Like, it's game script. I think it's going to be good, but he's really, really good too. I can't see them going down without him hitting a couple nice plays or at least trying to take some shots to him.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, and again, ideally they're throwing, so that's it.
Yeah, I mean, if I miss on game script on this one, I'm going to get beat, and it's going to be Derrick Henry, and it's not going to be Tyreek Hill and AJ Brown, but. I think that Kansas City wins this game. I think they win it by double digits ish. But if I miss on that, I'm gonna lose. In a 2-game slate, you know, you can't miss on that. So a lot of it's figuring out how you think the game goes.
Right. I mean, it seems like Henry's got to be the most important player on the slate, right?
For sure. Either way, if you play him or fade him, he's either got to be really big if you play him, and if you fade him, you got to hope he's not really big.
Right. Right.
So on the Kansas City side here, we talked about AJ Brown in Tennessee. They are tough to figure out. We've got Mecole Hardman. We have DeMarcus Robinson. We have Sammy Watkins. It was a pretty clear edge for Sammy Watkins last week in wide receiver snaps. He only had 4 less than Tyreek Hill. He had 56 snaps, and he dropped all the way down to 37 for Robinson, only 11 for Mecole Hardman. I tossed Hardman out completely just based on that. He's a huge guy for them in the return game. He can always hit a big play, but at 11 snaps in a game where they were trailing, for a chunk of it, at least a quick chunk of it, but throwing a lot, 11 snaps kind of makes me throw him out. If I can afford it, I like Sammy Watkins at 4,600. He had 76 yards last week, only 2 targets, but I think he's the best, probably cheap piece of this pass game if you're trying to hit on something. But if you need some money, I mean, DeMarcus Robinson played 37 snaps last week, and he's 3,300. I wouldn't hate that if you want to kind of punt that position right there.
Yeah, I think that's the way you have to look at it, though. But he's a reasonable punt.
He is. Yeah, but you probably hope he catches hope he catches 4 targets and catches a touchdown. That's kind of the upside.
Right, right. I don't know. Watkins, that his price range is just so, like, I find myself constantly in it. But then I'm like, why am I not just playing the 49ers guys?
And he's Sammy Watkins. I mean, he's the most frustrating wide receiver of the last, like, 8 years.
That too.
In the Green Bay side, we talked about Adams. I mean, Alan Lazard is mildly interesting. He had 17 targets the last 2 weeks before he – last week. And then last week he left the game early with an ankle injury. Did come back into play a little bit in the second half, so that's a good sign. He's he was partially practicing yesterday. So it looks like he's going to be a go. He only played 20 snaps last week. I just worry that he might see Richard Sherman a lot, and they may just kind of go the other side of the field, maybe kind of keep Adams away from Sherman and let Lazard go against him. I just I don't know. It's tough. If you want to save some money and you think Green Bay's behind and kind of this goes into a game script that way, I can see playing Lazard, but I prefer the Kansas City guys. I prefer Sanders. I probably prefer Bourne, just hoping for a touchdown. I just I liked Lazard a lot last week because I thought the game was going to be a little more back and forth than it is this week, but I can't really get aboard this week.
Yeah, I think – I mean, this is what we were talking about kind of at the beginning of, do you want to play the third wideout for the for a home favorite, which would be Bourne, or do you want to play – I mean, I guess – he's Lazard is technically the number two for Green Bay, but if he's banged up, then or would you rather play like Corey Davis or
no,
right, Hardman or Robin? You know, it's like these are — you're probably playing at least one of these guys.
I like Watkins easily more than Lazard, yeah. So I mean, and that's a $200 difference. I think it's gonna be hard for me to get Lazard when Watkins is right there,
yeah.
Not that I love Watkins. I just, if you're going to give me the second wide receiver in that offense.
In that offense, right.
Versus the Packers offense against the Niners defense, I'm going to go with the Chiefs guy every time.
Yeah, totally agree.
Any other wide receivers that you have any interest in at all? I think we kind of hit every guy that's remotely playable.
You don't think it's a random Dante Pettis week?
I don't know. Is Dante Pettis
going to be active? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think that the offense took off once they got him off the field.
Weird how that happens.
It is. Thank goodness we drafted Debo Samuel to make up for drafting Dante Pettis last year, because that has not worked out.
No. Drafting is tough.
It is very tough, and the Niners have missed on a lot of receivers, so it's been really fun to see Debo really blossom this year. Tight ends, we got the obvious two. We have Kelce and Kittle, but big price difference this week. Kelce is 7,100 on DraftKings after the big week. Kittle's 5,800 after the really quiet week where the Niners didn't pass the ball. Then Graham and Jonnu Smith at 3,700 and 3,400. What are you doing at tight end, do you think?
It just seems like you're losing way too much if you don't play Kelce or Kittle.
I don't think I'll have a lineup without one of them in it.
Right. Yeah, it's just...
And the money's there to get there. I don't think it's a week where you have to try and punt to one of those two guys, and those two guys are just not good anyway. So it's just I'm not going to do it.
I mean, you can make the case that they're the best receivers for their teams, and they're priced. I mean, I guess Kittle would technically be the most expensive pass catcher on his team, but like Kelce's cheaper than Hill, and yep. I mean barely, but and you could probably play Hill and Kelce together. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Seems like,
yeah, for sure. Late, yeah.
If you're doing that, you're like, no, I'm gonna pay down at tight end for Jimmy Graham or Jonnu Smith. Like, you're doing that so that you can play, I guess, Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill, one of those guys.
Or you're like Mahomes, Hill, Henry, or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And are you gonna make that up? I think that's kind of the biggest questions, like the odds that a $3,400, although we just talked about how horrible that those receivers are, but like would you rather take a shot on Demarcus Robinson and Kittle or Kelce or any of these garbage wideouts, or take your chance on Jonnu Smith and then try, hopefully get something out of Aaron Jones or Devontae?
Yeah, I mean, I know my answer to that one. I mean, I know Jonnu Smith scored the touchdown last week. He's playing a lot. They haven't thrown the ball. I get that. But he had three targets the last 3 weeks. I mean, they're just not really using him. I know they haven't passed the ball, so some of those numbers are skewed the last couple weeks. The game script should be different. But I'd play him over Graham, but I don't think I'm going to play either one of them.
I don't know how anybody plays Jimmy Graham, like ever.
Hasn't topped 50 yards since week 10. Hasn't scored since week 7.
I'm surprised it's week 7.
He had 49 yards last week.
Back-to-back weeks with 49, I see here.
Yeah.
He's hot.
Yeah, no doubt. So between Kittle and Kelce, is the money difference there enough? Do you have a strong preference based on the price, or do you just think Kelce, his role in the offense, I mean, 60-plus yards in 9 of 10 weeks is pretty wild for a tight end. 12 targets last week, 3 touchdowns. Do you have a strong preference between the two? Is the price difference enough for you to lean Kittle?
No. I actually, I don't know if I started my lineup with Kelce, but he was certainly one of the first guys in. I don't think it's crazy to try to play both again, though.
I don't either.
Like you kind of likely price yourself out of the Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams group, but which they're the only two. But But I think you can play both, yeah.
And Kittle at 5,800, I think you might, you could do something with that too. So I looked at Green Bay and looked at their tight end history against for their defense. And the good tight ends they played, I'll just give you a list here. Greg Olsen, 8 for 98. Hunter Henry, 7 for 84. Travis Kelce, 4 for 63 and a touchdown. Darren Waller, 7, 126 and 2 touchdowns. Zach Ertz, 7 for 65. George Kittle, 6 for 129 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's a pretty, pretty good history of any time they played a good tight end. The tight end has been really good against them.
Yeah, that is good.
Kind of opposite from Minnesota last week.
Right.
Like one touchdown to tight ends all year. And I wouldn't say shut Kittle down because the Niners defense or Niners offense kind of shut itself down in the second half. But I like this matchup a lot. I think that they're going to have to do a little bit more. I think Green Bay is going to be more productive than Minnesota was last week. At 5,800 on DraftKings, I mean, I love Kittle more than certainly more than any of the receivers in that 5,000 range.
Yeah, that's the way I was looking at it. I mean, obviously you have Debo kind of similarly priced, but
I mean, I go Kittle over Debo every day head to head.
Exactly.
So lastly, before we get done with this quick little slate here, we got defenses. I think that I'm going to let you go first. Do you have a preference on a defense this week?
San Francisco 49ers, of course, man. I'm waiting all season for this.
2,900 on DraftKings, 6 sacks last week, 2 turnovers against the Vikings. Really a possibly good game script with 7.5-point favorite. I think they're my favorite, too. I think I like them and Kansas City. Kansas City had 5 sacks last week. And I think that, Baltimore defense did nothing against Tennessee, but that was a lot of game script based. I think the way that this one goes, Kansas City gets ahead. I think they sacked Ryan Tannehill a bunch of times. I could see playing either one. Any interest in Green Bay if you want to go super cheap with the thought that maybe Garoppolo throws his patented, one or two really bad balls during the game.
That's funny. I was going to ask you if you're more willing to play the Packers or Titans if you needed it. But it seems
Packers for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's how I felt.
The Smith brothers, I know they're not brothers. They rushed the quarterback really well. Because someone would have said they're not brothers if I hadn't said that. They had 5 sacks against Russell Wilson last week, which, is a pretty good stat. And I love Jimmy Garoppolo, but he has that one or two times in a game where he throws and doesn't see a linebacker. And he had it last week, and Eric Kendricks had the pick. It's turned into a pick six a couple times this year. So I think if you're playing a cheap defense, I think it has to be Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree. But like at $500 difference between the Packers and the 49ers, like I don't know. I didn't have a situation where I was like, oh, I don't have the 500.
Yeah, I agree. I think San Francisco's priced down enough that if I'm going to take two of them, I'm going to take the home favorite and not even think about it.
Right.
Anything else you want to say here? Do you think both favorites win?
I do. Make like a really, really fun Super Bowl.
It'd be a great Super Bowl. I mean, for the teams that got knocked out, I think there was some concern that, maybe the Super Bowl isn't set up for a great matchup. If we get San Francisco, Kansas City, I think that's like just a dream match. You got the superstar, huge offense against the best defense in football. And there's just a lot of fun matchups and narratives that come from both of those if they do play each other.
For sure. I mean, we can agree that nobody wants to see Packers-Titans. Other than people in Wisconsin.
I know the NFL front offices definitely not want that.
Oh, God.
Either. Yeah, I think Packers-Chiefs would be really good. I think people would love that. I mean, you get Mahomes and Rodgers and a replay of Super Bowl I and all that. So I think that would be a pretty good and fun matchup for the NFL. But the Titans, it's hard to get too fired up about either of the Titans matchups. Unless they come out and win. If they win 3 road games like that, that'd be a hell of a run to finish the season.
That would be pretty crazy.
Yeah, so... All right, well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. We greatly appreciate you guys listening all year. We will be back one more time. We'll do a podcast for the Super Bowl. Andrew and I have talked. We're going to do a DFS showdown chat by that. We're also going to do some Super Bowl props, so that should be a lot of fun. The Super Bowl props are one of the most fun things I do all year, so I really love breaking those down. So we're going to talk a bunch of those. We're also going to talk, obviously, the DFS showdown slate for the Super Bowl. We look forward to that. We'll be back at you in 2 weeks. Take care, and go Niners.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.